Reverend Samuel West, Massachusetts, 1776, in a sermon, he said this. He said, "The most perfect freedom consists in obeying the dictates of right reason and submitting to natural law," which is God's law. "When a man goes beyond or contrary to the law of nature and reason, he becomes a slave of base passions and vile lusts. Hence, we conclude that where licentious begins, liberty ends." You got that? Where licentious begins, liberty ends. That's because liberty is not the right to do anything we like. The right to do anything you want is called, politically, that's called anarchy. All right, the founders of America clearly distinguished between liberty and license. The liberty they talked about was a responsible liberty that was based on religion, based on morality, and in particular, Christian religion and Christian morality. Therefore, the kind of liberty they talked about and they espoused had internal restraints. Okay, you weren't free to just do anything you want, especially anything evil. There were internal restraints in the liberty they were espousing. The liberty today's Americans talk about is a liberty that has no constraints whatever, because it's not based on any moral or religious principles. It's based just upon our right to choose. And if that's the only basis, then there's nothing to constrain it. See, if liberty is based solely on our right to choose, then we can choose whatever we want, regardless of how evil it is, regardless of how, you know, it may hurt society or other people. It doesn't matter. We have the right to choose. That is it. That's it. That's liberty. But that's not what the founding fathers taught. And when people like Pinto claim that religious liberty is evil, what they're trying to do is impose today's perverted, corrupted idea of liberty on what the original founders were saying and teaching and writing about. And these kind of people like Pinto, unless they're just dumb third grade idiots, what they're doing is they're intentionally ignoring and disregarding the mountain of public statements and personal letters by those leaders, which show very clearly that their idea of liberty is exactly the reverse of today's idea of liberty. That we no longer have any concept of what the founders understood by the term religious liberty can be seen by the way modern historians have interpreted Thomas Jefferson's famous statement regarding the, quote, wall of separation between church and state. That phrase came about in a letter Jefferson was writing to a Baptist congregation. In that letter, he was quoting the First Amendment, and he says to these Baptists of Danbury, Connecticut, he says, quote, "I contemplate with solemn reverence that act of the whole American people which declared that their legislature should make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, thus building a wall of separation between church and state." Now, liberals and secularists, they love this passage because they think it proves that the founders of America thought the government should avoid practicing, teaching, or supporting religion, religious views of any kind, okay? And being the typical hypocrites that they are, these kind of people invariably, they ignore the fact, what they do is they ignore that there was a prayer that closed that very same letter that Jefferson wrote to the Baptists. It ended with a prayer. Okay, these same people that use that statement to destroy religion in every form and fashion in this country, they never seem to notice that Mr. Jefferson, in his official capacity as President of the United States, closed that very letter with the following prayer. He said, "I reciprocate your kind prayers for the protection and blessing of the common father." Now, if the people who are interpreting Jefferson's comment, you know, that comment about church and state, the wall of separation, were correct, then Jefferson was breaking down the very wall he was that moment proclaiming by asking somebody to pray for him as an official of the United States. The founding fathers rejected emphatically a wall of separation between religion and public life. There was no separation. Your religion was part of your public life, and your public life was a reflection of your religion. There was no wall of separation between God and politics. Now, it's true, they opposed an official state-sponsored church or denomination, but they favored government support of religion through public laws, in official speeches and in proclamations, on ceremonial occasions and public schools and all kinds of places. It's crazy to say or try and, you know, put over the idea that they were not trying to support religion. That's crazy. They just weren't trying to establish a particular sect of Christianity as the official government denomination. Now, the stupidity of trying to expunge all religion from the public square, the public sphere, I'm just going to give you one example how this gets, how this becomes, can be so twisted. The Declaration of Independence. It's still being taught in public schools, as far as I know. Now, the Declaration of Independence contains four distinct references to God. One is a reference to, quote, divine providence. Also, God is specifically said to be the author of our laws. He's specifically said to be the creator who has endowed us with our inalienable rights. And finally, he's specifically said to be the supreme judge of the world. Yet our God-hating Supreme Court for years has ruled that the government may not, quote, teach or practice religion or exert, quote, subtle coercive pressure on students by prayers or religious instruction. Well, guess what? When a public school teacher teaches the Declaration of Independence in a public school, she's violating the Supreme Court because she's teaching religion. She's also exercising a kind of subtle coercive pressure on students forbidden by the Supreme Court. She's teaching those children that God is our lawgiver, our creator, our judge, and our providential protector. She's promoting the establishment of religion as a government-paid employee. Well, the Declaration hasn't been declared unconstitutional yet. I think it probably will be. The only reason it hasn't been declared unconstitutional yet is because the leaders, especially the Supreme Court, they know that the Americans haven't yet been completely globalized. Okay? It knows that many Americans would still be outraged if they made a law saying outlawing the teaching of the Declaration in school. See, until the vast majority of American citizens have become so globalized, they don't ever care if America remains a sovereign nation. The Supreme Court's going to have to continue to falsely assert what they do about this whole issue, which is that the Declaration of Independence isn't really a religious document. They have to say that the reference to the Declaration, or when, for instance, when people are reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, those things no longer have any religious purpose or meaning to the people, because they're simply recognizing the historical fact that our nation was believed to have been founded under God. In other words, the Supreme Court's saying, you can continue to teach the theology that's found in the Declaration of Independence in the classroom as long as everybody understands, it's understood by everyone, that that document itself belongs in a world that's dead, long dead and gone. That has nothing to do with the world we live in today. This is why liberals and secularists can blow off all the examples of government-sponsored religion, like prayers in public schools, prayers and all kinds of ceremonial occasions, religious music in schools, religious devotions, national days like Thanksgiving, the Day of Prayer proclamation that some of the presidents made. They can cast all this off by saying that these traditions are just relics of an earlier era of, you know, religious bigotry, when the separation of church and state wasn't understood or practiced. Now, many of the most ardent supporters of religious liberty in early America, they were minorities. Okay, they were Baptists, Methodists, Catholics, and Jews. They feared persecution from the majority at that time, which were the Congregationalists in New England and the Episcopalians in the South. See, the original colonies, and this is pretty strange. I didn't put this in my notes, but it's very strange. Mr. Pinto, if you see that video, he says, we all agree that America was a Christian nation in the very beginning. When they first came over and started the colonies, all the colonies were teaching Christian principles. It's just when the Revolution came, the Revolution was taken over by Enlightenment thinkers, by Masonic demons, and so forth. And that's when the country went to pot, and we all come under the influence of the Great Conspiracy. But you see, for many of those colonies, they were actually instituting a theocracy. I mean, they were really strict with their laws. You could be jailed and killed for not believing the Bible or all kind of number of things. So what you really had in your early colonies was almost a theocracy for many of them. And that is what Pinto was saying. Well, that's good. That's okay. But this religious liberty we have where, you know, we're not going to persecute people who don't believe exactly like us, that kind of thing is evil and wicked. You know what the people he's talking against are doing? People like David Barton, they're trying to establish a Christian theocracy in America. And then they want to extend that Christian theocracy all throughout the world. They're dominionists. And Mr. Pinto supposedly is against this. Yet he looks to the early colonies as the quintessential American thing. That's all good. When that was the closest thing to theocracy you could have. His mind is just totally screwed up. His logic is upside down. Like I said, many of the people who were the most supportive of religious liberty in early America were the minorities because they feared persecution. The persecution that went on in the colonies. It was the Virginia Declaration of Rights. Shows that religious liberty, not only as a secular thing, has a religious purpose. It has a secular and religious purpose. This is what the Virginia Declaration says. It says, that religion or duty which we owe our Creator and the manner of discharging it can be directed only by reason and conviction, not by force or violence. and therefore all men are equally entitled to the free exercise of religion according to the dictates of conscience. Okay? What the writers are saying there is that they're going to protect the free exercise of religion, religious liberty, not because they were indifferent to religion, not because religion was seen as a threat to them, but because religion, uncoerced by force or violence, is the duty we owe to God, our Creator. In other words, we must have religious liberty in order to discharge our duty to God faithfully. That's the purpose of liberty. Founding Father Benjamin Rush said this. He said, "The noblest purpose of liberty is to enable man to do his highest duty to God. But religion also has a crucial secular purpose in America, securing the moral conditions of freedom." Okay? The moral conditions of freedom, secular, civil freedom, is secured by religion. That's what he's saying, by the moral principles of religion. And the highest purpose of liberty is to enable us to do our duty to God. We have to be free in order to really freely serve God. See, in the founder's view, there can be no liberty without morality, and morality comes from God and the Bible. This is why Mr. Rush said, where there's no religion, there will be no morals. Unfortunately, this reasoning is not understood today because we now equate liberty with the right to choose, with the right to do anything we please, including immoral, wicked things. The founders of America rejected that perverted view of liberty for two reasons. First of all, they didn't consider a man free who was a slave to his own passions, and especially irrational passions. Secondly, they clearly believed, and they stated, that a people who are enslaved by their own passions would be unable to themselves from hurting each other and from destroying society. Now, if this is the case, if that's the kind of people you have, then you have to have a government that basically enslaves the people politically for their own survival, to keep them from destroying themselves and everybody around them. That's why James Madison, another founding father, said that without sufficient self-control, which springs from morality and restraint, not from having the liberty to do whatever you like, without sufficient self-control, quote, nothing less than chains of despotism can restrain them from destroying and devouring one another. The founding fathers believed that religious motives were indispensable. In a private letter Mr. Madison wrote to somebody, he said, quote, the belief in a God all-powerful, wise and good is essential to the moral order of the world. Religious faith then proves to be an important ingredient in the moral formation of a people. I mean, you could quote thousands and thousands of personal letters or public statements over and over and over and over and over again. They all say the same thing. Morality and virtue is the only thing that can sustain liberty. Liberty comes from the Bible, from serving God, from obeying the precepts and the morality of the Bible. That's where liberty comes from. You take away the Bible, you destroy the liberty. Thomas Jefferson, another founding father everybody knows about, and he's often singled out for his indifference or hostility towards religion. He thought that belief that God is the author of liberty was not just beneficial, but essential to the survival of freedom. In his Notes on Virginia, he asks this question. He says, and can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of people that these liberties are a gift from God, that they are not to be violated, but with his wrath? In 1790, President Washington wrote a letter to a Hebrew congregation, one of the few Hebrew congregations in the United States at that time, in Newport. That was the first occasion that any nation had welcomed the Jews as equal citizens since biblical days. In that letter, Washington makes it clear that there are definite limits to the unalienable right to free exercise of religion. Okay, he said, quote, the citizens of the United States of America have the right to applaud themselves for having given to mankind examples of an enlarged and liberal policy worthy of imitation. All possess alike liberty of conscience and immunities of citizenship. It is now no more than toleration is spoken of as we were indulgence in one class of people than another enjoyed the exercise of their inherent natural rights. For happily, the government of the United States, which gives to bigotry no sanction, to persecution no assistance, requires only that those who live under its protection should demean themselves as good citizens in giving it on all occasions their effectual support. Okay, what he's saying is, the guarantee of free exercise of religion, religious liberty, that's absolute. But that doesn't mean everything that anyone calls an exercise of religion is going to be permitted. He says those who refuse to, quote, demean themselves as good citizens are abusing their inherent natural rights. So the liberty espoused by the founders of America, it contained restraints. There was restraints that they were expected from the population to restrain themselves according to the morals of the Bible, of Christianity. The perverted view of liberty that prevails today has absolutely no restraints whatsoever. The definition of liberty now is do whatever you want. And if I can't do that, then I'm not free. Now I want you to consider for a minute the Aztec religion. In the Aztec religion, people were sacrificed in supposed obedience to a divine command. I will tell you, if such a religion had existed in America during the days of the Founding Fathers, they would have treated that as a criminal organization, not a religion, that promotes murder, and they wouldn't have hesitated to forbid its exercise, and they'd have legally outlawed it, I guarantee you. That was not their idea of religious liberty. Yet today, under the guise of religious liberty, we have the equivalent of precisely that kind of religious barbarity exhibited by the adherents of Islam, who are not only being protected, but sanctioned by almost every official in America. The Founding Fathers would not have put up with Islam. They would have outlawed it. Under the liberty envisioned by the founders, religion could not be used as an excuse to violate the rights of others or to engage in conduct that would undermine the moral foundation of the society. And that this is the case is made clear by what Thomas Jefferson wrote to James Madison. He said, quote, "The declaration that religious faith shall be unpunished does not give impunity to criminal acts dictated by religious error." Okay, let me read that again so you get the idea. "The declaration that religious faith shall be unpunished does not give impunity to criminal acts dictated by religious error." In other words, he said, you can have religious freedom, all the freedom you want, but if that freedom, if under the guise of religious freedom, you're going to do criminal acts, that don't cut it. That's where we draw the line. See, under the perverted view of liberty today, religion can be used as an excuse to violate the rights of others, to engage in conduct that undermines the foundation of America. Indeed, today's perverted view of religion, which idiots like Pinto are trying to put in the mouths of the American founders, which is a lie, it's literally destroying our nation. Islam is going to destroy this nation under the guise of religious liberty. And both the conservatives and the liberals don't know how to stop it. Well, the liberals want it that way, but the conservatives want to stop it, but they don't know how. Because they've accepted this false definition of liberty as the freedom to choose, as the freedom to do whatever you want, not as the freedom to serve God. So while the liberty given to us by the founders was designed not to force people to serve God, and not to force people to join any one denomination, and not to have any one sect become the official religion of America, that's not the kind of liberty Pinto's trying to present them as espousing. The liberty they were espousing was a liberty that had internal restraints based on morality, based on virtue, which came from Christianity and the Bible, and they put laws into place to punish those who refused to be restrained by those values and morality. At the same time, it was the hope of the founders, clearly from the things they wrote, from the things they said, that the people of America, the citizens, would be a religious, preferably Christian, people who would conform their conduct to the precepts found in the Bible. Because they knew that a nation without moral restraints, which almost invariably comes from religion, is a nation destined to collapse and to be destroyed, just as our nation is now collapsing and is going to soon be destroyed. So anyone who says the religious liberty of the Founding Fathers, it was really just, you know, Masonic universalism in disguise, or Jesuit Catholicism in disguise, or it was just a secular license to do anything we want, including rape, murder, drugs, sodomy, Satan worship, etc., they're deceived. They are totally, totally deceived. The liberty our forefathers espoused was based on the ethics, the morality, and the restraint that's taught in the Bible and in Christianity. That is a historical fact. And anybody who says that's not true is a liar. In closing, I just want to look at one example of how far we've come and the consequences of turning the founders' view of liberty upside down into this satanic counterfeit, which we now have. Just one example. 50 years ago, very few Americans could have imagined how much the sin of homosexuality would be taking over our whole society. The rapidity with which these faggot activists continued to bully the nation into normalizing a perversion that was once universally considered abnormal is astounding. Simply tolerating them hasn't satisfied them. We tried that, didn't satisfy them. They want more. Allowing their views to be taught in our school hasn't satisfied them. They want more. They want the whole society, their redefinition of marriage, to include same-sex couples. And right now, you got 3 or 4 states so far that officially recognize same-sex marriages. Before too long, all 50 states will probably. See, the social engineers of the political correctness we're now the victims of, they've been working overtime for decades to restructure public morality, to bring it from the Bible and the founders' view of constrained liberty, to this thing of unrestrained, unconstrained, you know, just licentious. Anything goes. Our founding fathers would be incensed and outraged at what they saw if they were alive today. Because they understood the acceptance of homosexuality undermines and erodes the moral fabric and foundation of any civilized society. I don't think many Americans realize that while serving as the commander-in-chief of the Revolution Army, George Washington had a homosexual court-martialed and dismissed from the service with infamy. The guy's name was Lewitt Enslin, and he was tried for attempting to commit sodomy with a guy named John Mohort, which is another soldier. And somebody told Washington, and he called him up, court-martialed him, and threw him out of the army. Washington, and this is written down, he viewed sodomy with, quote, abhorrence and detestation. That was his stated public view of homosexuality. He viewed it with abhorrence and detestation. So anybody says the religion that Washington was presenting was the religion that gives freedom to homosexuals is either deceived or they're a liar. As a matter of fact, homosexuality was treated as a criminal offense in all the original 13 colonies and eventually in every one of the 50 states. I mean, severe penalties were invoked for those who engaged in that kind of perversion. It's a pity. Few Americans today know that the penalty for homosexuality in several states was death. Death for homosexuals. How's that for a good slogan? And those states include New York, Vermont, Connecticut, and South Carolina. Well, bring them laws back. I say death to homosexuals, especially the militant ones. I'm sure most people nowadays will be shocked to learn that Thomas Jefferson advocated dismemberment of the offending organ as a penalty for homosexuality in his home state of Virginia. And he even authored a bill to that effect. Well, where did the founding fathers derive their views of sodomy? The answer is the Bible. And the more America has cast the Bible behind their backs, the more these filthy faggots have taken control of the nation. There's a direct equivalent. One brings the other. It don't take a super intelligent person. All you got to do is, you know, read history books. And history tells you that as civilizations proceed down the path of moral deterioration and eventual ruin, the acceptance of same-sex relations has typically been the final straw. That's the last leg down on the ladder before a civilization goes under for the final time. It's same-sex marriage. Now, the warning God issued to the Hebrews regarding their own ability to sustain their nation, their national existence, in the promised land, he warned them that their iniquity would not allow that. Their iniquity would end their national existence. And that applies to America as well, my friends. Regardless of all the other abominations we currently practice in this nation, you know, abortion and all the Satanists and all the, you know, pornography and everything, homosexuality alone will bring God's wrath down upon a nation. And when you get down to the bottom rung where you're advocating same-sex marriage, your civilization is just about over. This is what God said in Leviticus. He said, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Do not defile yourselves with any of these things, for by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you." You see that? For all these things, the nations that are defiled, which I'm casting out. In other words, God cast out the Canaanites and brought in the Israelites, the Hebrews, and told them to kill everything in that land, women, children, beasts, babies, everything, because of those abominations. And one of the main ones was, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman." Homosexuality, one of the main abominations that brought down God's wrath on the Canaanites. He says, "For the land is defiled. Therefore, I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants." The land vomits out its inhabitants. "You," speaking to Hebrews, "you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations, lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations that were before you." You can mark it down. The God of the Bible will not allow the abomination of homosexuality to go unchallenged and unpunished forever. We're about to be vomited out of this land as a judgment. So the religious and the civil liberty that the founders said are inalienable rights, that's not a liberty to do whatever we please, including homosexuality. That's the kind of liberty Satan promotes in order to bring people into bondage and eventually destroy them and entire nations. The liberty of the American Revolution, the liberty of George Washington, of Thomas Jefferson, of all those evil Masonic, pro-Catholic antichrists, was liberty under God to promote morality, to promote religious values, and to fulfill our duty to God and be a good citizen. That was religious liberty. That's a definition and understanding of religious liberty as was given to us by our forefathers. And the fact it's been perverted now is no reason to malign those men and say that the liberty they gave us is the same garbage we now view as liberty today. It's not. They gave us a godly liberty based on scripture, based on Christianity, based on tolerance to a certain point of others who don't believe exactly like we do. That has nothing to do with what today is called liberty by either conservatives or liberals. So this guy Pinto is a liar. I don't think he's stupid. I think he's deliberately lying and twisting to give everybody a false view of the founding fathers. Okay? I still got this thing about these people who are defaming what God did for this country. I don't care how wicked we are now. I don't care if we can annihilate every person. God raised this nation up, and we didn't value it enough to hold on to it. And that's what people need to understand. Amen? Okay. Anybody have anything to add or comment or ask or say or anything? Feel free. Thanks, Irma. Appreciate it. Amen. Thanks, guys. I mean, it's just, it's horrible enough to see how the nation has degenerated into what it is now. We don't need people going around saying it was always evil. We don't need that crap. And that's what happens when you get these conspiracy theories. Your mind gets so twisted, it just perverts everything. All right. Well, if nobody has anything, I guess we'll shut her down. We'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.